CFG Gamecast, episode number 210, a weekly podcast created by gamers and streamers alike to discuss the latest gaming topics from the previous week. We stream a new episode weekly and release it on all podcast services. So do us a favor and show us some love by liking, following, and subscribing to our YouTube channel, the CFG channel, or go to our main website, confreaksandgeeks.com, to not miss an episode. If you want to throw some ducats our way and support the podcast itself, you can become a VIP member by going to the CFG.store, where you get some extra goodies, like especially like we've done the beginning of this week, that like Vicky G and Red Scarlet could do, but to go to our private Discord so we can do a watch party with X-Men, the animated series. It was really fun. I mean, I put 100% my geek card there. Jesus. But anyways, but I know y'all don't want to talk about that. I am your host, Mr. CFG Games, aka Davis Green, and with me today I got my two awesome co-hosts. I got Lex in the second seat, and what is going on, my cyborg?
Like Snake Eye said, it's crazy outside. That was not fun to drive through. I took my medicine a day early because I woke up, I'm all swollen, so I was like, oh snap, thanks weather. So it's been helping with my swelling, so I was like, eh, I'll just go pick it up and take it a day early. But I've been playing lots of games this week. Oh gosh, what did we play? Last week we was it last week or this week? I don't remember. But we played the new DVD beta setup, which was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. I'm excited for what's to come. That thing is also terrifying. I don't know what he is, but he's called the Unknown. He kind of looks like a creepy ice cream man, and I think he blows bubblegum at you. I don't know. You just get covered in pink, and it's hard to move, so you be the judge. But, sorry. Yeah, we played a lot of stuff this week. I played Nightingale, which is delightful. I've noticed a lot of people are having trouble when they team up with other people. So if that's the case, here's my little tidbit. Do all of the tutorial first, number one. Number two, if you are joining someone else, you are working on their storyline. If they are joining you, you are working on your storyline. Yes, their equipment can progress, but it does not progress their storyline. So don't get disappointed. But yeah, we've been having a lot of fun with Nightingale. Adam is crazy far ahead of me on that. So that was delightful. Also, Disney Dreamlight Valley came out with their Mike and Sully update, which I'm having a lot of fun. I haven't beaten it yet, shockingly. Normally, I beat it within 48 hours. I haven't. I've been a little busy. So
too many games.
Dude, so many. I also got all my merch in, so I'm head to toe in my Painting the Roses red merch today, but my pharmacist liked it, and my sneakers are sick. Oh, I love them.
That's awesome. Yeah, sneakers, that's crazy.
Well, we don't have them out yet, but I wanted to like order them first, make sure they're cool.
Get the sample. Before I... Yeah.
Oh, this is not a sample. And every detail, the inside of the tongue, the bottom of the shoe. I mean, everything is no just offense, thought
that
sound, of.
That sneaker just sounds expensive. Like, it just sounds not like. That bad.
I mean, if you were to go on like Converse or Vans and make custom shoes, it's about the same going rate. So.
Interesting. So what is it? Are yours like Converses? Are these just like the
they
flat?
They look like Converse. The cloth they're sneakers. High tops. Ooh. I have them downstairs because it was raining, or else I would have brought them up. But you can even design down to the box detail that they come in, which was really cool.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Which is behind me, and Opie snatched it up, so I don't know if it's in existence any longer. But yeah, it's got all the designs. It's really cool. But honestly, I created my clothing line for me. And if somebody else wants some of it, they can. But I just wanted comfy clothes that were my aesthetic and more in my price point. Because most hoodies that I like with multiple designs on them are like $65 to $80. And that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
No.
No.
That's... And it's not as comfortable. So I made my own. And I like it.
That's funny.
I've just been busy working all week.
Hey, Smith, hey, Lex.
Yeah.
You know, the person that also has a clothing line that I wish that he got his own sweatpants.
I do. His name is.
the five-star general of the itty-bitty Smitty Committee. I got Smitty in the third seat. What's going on, my dude?
You're right. I do need sweatpants. That's like one of my, that's like become like part of my whole aesthetic now. That's like basically all I wear at the house is sweatpants. So I need some solid ones. But, you know, it's been a pretty solid week. My sleep schedule's all crazy again. I know I accidentally did it and messed up, and I'm all over the place. So hopefully I'm able to get that in check. We got some Marvel Snap in. This is the last couple of days before the new season arrives, which is supposed to be Avengers versus X-Men. I've seen some of the cards and whatnot look cool. The ones that are going to be the ones that are highlighted.
Oh, what's next? What's next month's? What are the next month's cards?
It's the first one is what's her name? Not Donna Summer.
Donna Summers, the singer.
She left the cake out in the rain.
What's their daughter's name?
Hope.
Cyclops' daughter. Hope Summers. Is it Hope?
Yeah, Hope Summers is the daughter.
I think that So sure. Which is nice. Mm-hmm. She's gonna synergize nicely with Kitty Pryde and stuff like that. It's every time you play a card on in her lane, she gets or you get an extra energy from her. Yeah, I know. God. So she's a ramp card.
I'm glad I'm retired.
Yeah, so that's been solid. I've been getting down on some Helldivers. Had a blast with Doc and Lenny and I played with Darth Aiden and some other folks as well. So really been enjoying that. The PC's been holding up stream-wise, so that's been nice. Not having to worry about that stuff. And it seems like other than the things that I haven't rebuilt that I lost, everything seems to be working A-okay. So that's something that feels good. Yeah, but you know, we'll probably still look at upgrading a graphics card and all that. But other than that, though, it's been that's really gaming wise what I've played, and I haven't done a ton of gaming this week. I had work, I had multiple podcasts I was recording and stuff like that this week, so it was kind of a busier week. But overall, pretty solid, my friend.
That's good.
Yeah, yeah. What about you? How was your week, man?
Oh, it was actually pretty. It was pretty good for the most part. Like as always, still now week three of not streaming, which is makes me annoyed. But
are you even a streamer, bro?
I know, right? Yeah. I'm like the worst streamer. It's like, hey,
how dare you?
It's like, hey, stop by tomorrow. My last stream I did was basically, hey, I'm going to follow back up and continue my stream for tomorrow. That was 3 weeks ago. And I still cannot. I just have not been like I've been trying to take care of other stuff this whole time. So I need to play. So I need to get back on it again. I don't even know what to stream at this point right now, too, because I'm currently playing Final Fantasy VII Rebirth right now. I'm not streaming it because I do not want any spoilers, spoilers, immediate spoilers for everybody.
And not like that, dude, but that's a game that that's one's I'm consuming that for me. Mm-hmm. And trying to stream and do it is too much of splitting attention. Like I want to be able to put my full attention into playing that game when I'm playing it.
I totally agree. Yeah. And you know what I love too? The reason why I have two PS5s is because there are some games that I want to play on my television in the living room. And then there's the games that I don't mind just sitting down and streaming on the, in front of a computer, like being on the computer desk and then just have at it, you know? Mm-hmm. What's up, Lex?
I have a question.
What?
Did you know, I don't know if you knew this, but you can pick up your PlayStation and you can move it.
I'm not gonna move, dude. Like my system, my system is like the whole thing is like when you move your stuff like that and you're going to be switching it back and forth is the cabling, and I just don't want to deal with it. Like so at the time I had the money to do it, and I was like, okay, let's do it. I mean, that's the same thing you were like too, Smitty, because it's not just me that has PS5s.
You can unplug it.
Oh, I'm calling y'all into it because I'm because you have the same track of mind. Yeah, it's me too.
Did you not notice that, Lex?
No.
Yeah.
One's in the bedroom and one, like, you can almost see it. It's like right here, right next to the Oculus or the Quest.
Goodness.
You know, and mine is color coded. I have the one in the living room for me is the white, is the default white, and then I have a red controller. But then the one in the game, the one in my office, the one that's next to me right now, is the Grimace, and it's all purple.
Yeah, you got that. That's right. Yeah.
So the purple case on the PS5 with the purple controller, because I love purple. Yeah. So, but yeah, purple, the purple. Yeah. So like, yeah. So I've been playing Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, and I have to say this game is insanely like it's just the game itself amplifies this the original to 1,000% in my opinion. Like I love this game bit more, a hell of a lot more than I love the OG. It's not even because of the graphics. Crazy. It's just like the way that the storytelling is being told on this one. And plus technically though too, I played the original one. I think Smitty did too, the original OG version, that there was a ton of typos in the original version of Final Fantasy VII, and all that's been totally like, you know, rectified and stuff. So like
I would hope so. It.
Yeah. Well,
I know, right?
Square was stupid back in the day because they gave you know how you have like localization and it's a team to do it.
Yes.
Final Fantasy VII, the original Final Fantasy VII was the localization was done by only one person for the whole game. Yeah. Yeah, so
oh, God.
There was no like, yeah, I know, right?
You didn't have a boss. Proofreading? What is going on here?
I don't think there was any proofreading, clearly, because there was a lot of typos. I think the biggest typo is Eris. That's not her name.
Oh no.
Her name is Aerith, and like, he mistyped the one of the main characters' names, and for the longest of time, most people thought her name was Aerith. Yeah,
that's amazing.
There's a generation of people. Aerith. Yeah, I know, right? There's legitimately a generation of people that have played the original one that thinks that her name is Aerith to this day. Yeah, so like that's what I'm saying.
So wait, yeah. Smitty, are you gonna play Rebirth on the PlayStation, or are you gonna wait for it to come out on PC?
No, I'm going to play it on what it was intended to be played on.
Hey, I'm exactly. Just asking questions.
Yeah, exactly. No, I think Rebirth is definitely really a really like this is the, you know, if they made Final Fantasy 16 as crazy or as good and in depth like with the fighting style, I think I would have loved 16 a lot more. But like the but 7 is just so like the stuff that you could do in 7, the hard mode that they introduced in 7 in 7 remake to hopefully that's what they're going to do in Rebirth, it's just all so good. It's like I just can't deny it. I mean they did a great job on it. But I'm a little bit sad because like what I wanted, like I usually get deluxe editions, and as you know, I like getting physical editions on everything. Final Fantasy VII, I wanted a steelbook case on this. I completely forgot to reserve it, and I cannot find it anywhere unless I go to a scalper. So that was my bad on that one. But still, but we'll see. But then I'm really itching to getting Helldivers 2. It's a big thing though too. It's another game I'm really looking forward to wanting to play
as well.
Yeah, I know. Well, I loved Helldivers 1. I was a little. I won't say upset, but I was a little bit pissed off on the fact that they got rid of the vehicles and stuff at the beginning of it, because like the vehicles and some of the mechs and stuff that they had in Helldivers 1 and Helldivers 2 looked like it was just a wave clear of roaches and stuff. So I just thought, you know what, they said they're going to bring like the stratagems and all this stuff later on. I'll wait till that comes out. Now since I've been seeing that some of them are coming out, then I'm like, okay, so this is the direction that they're going with this. Okay, I think it's for $40, bro. Like you can't beat that. You really cannot.
You really can't.
Yeah,
you really can't. Solid loop, solid way of bringing in. Like to me, this is an example of right now how you properly run a live service game. This is a schooling. in how to properly do a live service game.
That is very true, especially now, right?
Good
now.
Good job, but by Arrowhead.
They have their minutes of fame, but like remember what I was saying about Power World? It was like, we'll just need to see how long the community lasts on this. Did you see that it has done a 74% drop on concurrent viewers?
Has it?
Yeah. I believe it. I mean, there's only so much you can do, and again, that's the thing about survival games. Unless you basically, the way I see survival games, they end up becoming like a sandbox, chores. And you create your own games and stuff like that within this sandbox, as opposed to just going through the hype about it with seeing all the different things and collecting new shit. Now that people have gotten into the end game, and this is where it always comes down to things, is that end game is like, well, I've done all the things. There's not really much else for me to do here. Mm-hmm. I'm cool.
Yeah.
You know? Essentially.
No, so you're totally right.
I'm sure as they come out with like major updates and stuff like that. Did that drop on you guys?
It did. But
I don't know why I'm doing that. Okay. Yeah, I'm gonna have to lock this. That was the wrong button.
Oh boy.
No, we're good. But yeah, like that's the major thing again. It's like once you get to end game, that's where you really see what the game like is about, what it can do, that replayability. If the replayability is not there, people are going to leave. There's too many other games out right now and backlogs that people can't just easily be like, all right, I'm good on this. I'm going to move on. There's other things to explore and stuff. I'll come back when you get new shit.
I know. Yeah. I mean, and to its fault though, too. Like I said, it's an early release, so like a early access. Yeah. So we don't know where the direction of this of Power World's going to go, or what's the direction that this game is going to become, and we don't know when this game is going to be finalized. So this is just the True. Beginning of it. Yeah. So they got in a way they succeeded already getting the people to buy their game.
Yeah.
And now mm-hmm. they're going to wait till when the game comes out, or when it gets close to coming out, what that game is going to become. And the way that looks like, maybe a year or 2 years, who knows? Who freaking knows? These people never finish their game, so I don't know. That's the biggest problem.
Yeah,
so we don't know. That's what I'm worried about. So we'll see. But anyways, I know y'all don't want to talk about it, don't want to get into it with games as a service again, 2 weeks in a row with us. So let's go through the normal rigmarole that we like to do each and every week. So each of us chooses a topic of discussion in the world of video games from the previous week. The topic would or could be a game itself or something that happened in the gaming industry. And we don't want to talk about it amongst ourselves. We want you, the listeners and viewers on Twitch, YouTube, and on Kick to be a part of the conversation. So if there's something that you're wanting to chime in about, whatever we talk about today, by all means, just type it inside the chat. We would love to discuss it with you as always. So let's get this started with Lex. I was about to call you Liz. I'm sorry. No. Hey, I said Lex though, so I did.
You did.
There you go. So what are you bringing to the table?
So interesting. Okay. Ori and the Blind Forest and Ori and the Will of the Wisps is on my... When nothing is out and I have nothing to play, I'm going back and playing those games. Those have been on my list for a hot minute. I knew who Moon Studios was, but now they're kind of going in a different direction. They're saying no more Ori, at least for right now. That doesn't mean we won't eventually get a third game in the future. But they just came out and did a cover reveal for their new game called No Rest for the Wicked. So it's going to be a dark fantasy action RPG, but combines a variety of genres. So they're going to do an ARPG like Diablo to difficulty, and then combat similar to Dark Souls, but town building similar to Animal Crossing, which what? I found.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks. No Rest for the Wicked looks really good.
It looks really good. I'd gotten a couple little sneak peeks here and there of what like gameplay is going to look like. But the cover reveal and the art just looks absolutely fantastic. If you didn't know, the co-founder is Thomas Mahler, who used to work for Blizzard. But he and the CEO, I'm going to butcher this poor man's name, so I'm not going to say it. Kral, I'll say the last name. They invited Game Informer and they got to go to Vienna and Austria and get like exclusive details. So unfortunately, we don't get to see that or hear about it until a new issue comes out for them. It looks like they're going to be doing issue 364, which is Game Informer's, I assume like their magazine essentially, but they're going to go into very deep detail as far as that. But the game looks fantastic. The cover art looks great. What we've been told as far as like the story kind of gives me like, not just Brothers Grimm, but like Brothers Grimm meets almost like a fairy court kind of situation. I don't know. But it looks so cool. I'm really excited. I like a lot of the variety of genres that they're adding into it. It's not just an RPG. It's going to combine a lot of forces. And I'm really excited because with games like this, the replayability kind of goes down if there's not a lot to do and come back to. Yeah. But it seems like they're really digging deep and coming forward with, hey, here's reasons why, you know, and I'm really excited about it, but I was curious what you guys thought.
Well, like from when I first saw this, I mean, I think they announced this on one of the Xbox announcements, like live streams. And when they saw like a small tidbit of it, I was like, oh, this is the same people that did Ori. And
yes,
I was like, oh, this is going to be a very interesting game. I was already interested in this game as it is. So I like the game looks really good. To say that they are going to try something a little different, I mean, I'm cool. I'm really glad that they're wanting to try to fight. They don't want to be like locked in a situation where they have to make the same platforming kind of game. Just with like with Ori, and they're taking a chance with it. They're going to make something completely different and something out of their scopes for the first time. Awesome. That's great.
Use the wrong wording. I'm sorry. My brain is not braining today, but, it's a dark medieval fantasy. So like the storyline that we know so far is basically a plague has befallen the island community that you start out in, and it's transforming the citizens into monsters. And that's all we know so far. Mm-hmm. But just wanted to throw that out there just in case.
Okay. You know, it's funny. I was just thinking about this, though, because this reminds me of like the way it looks like. It kind of reminds me of Baldur's Gate. And I just realized, though, too, if the Baldur's Gate is what was Tim was talking about, that's the one you need to get earlier, because you remember he was asking if you should pick up a D&D. They're like, yeah, oh, I was looking at Dark Alliance, but Baldur's Gate, no, definitely. But yeah, this reminds me of a more of a one player version of it, and I would love to see how this is going to go, how this is going to go. Sweetie,
this is a single player game
from what we know so far. Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Could that change in that
building and stuff too?
Yes. So they're saying that it's an action RPG, but it combines influences from a variety of genres, from ARPGs like Diablo to the difficulty and thoughtful combat of Dark Souls to the town building of Animal Crossing and more. So,
good. Dark Souls.
That's okay. At first, I was kind of like, but I kind of liked the combat of Dark Souls, and that was the only thing I liked. So
yeah, I can. Yeah, I wonder. Yeah, that's interesting because
I don't think it's gonna play like Dark Souls with their combat, because the camera angle would like make it impossible for you to do that.
Yes.
Interesting. But, so I wonder what they pulled from Dark Souls combat wise. Right. you know, saying is akin to Dark Souls, because that's a really bold statement to make.
Yes,
because I feel like those games have a very niche fan base. And it's, I mean, I'm not saying that the fan base is small or anything. I just, your typical average gamer isn't going to be able to handle that kind of pain.
You don't want to be a part of the get good community? What are you talking about?
No, dude. I don't like, look, dude, like, no, no, yeah. I'm not trying to, I don't got time to dedicate to get that good, dude.
I get it. Here's where I have a thought, and I think maybe they're thinking it too. Because with Dark Souls, it's a lot of punishment, and you kind of can't really, if I remember correctly, correct me if I'm wrong, can't really, like, halfway through a battle be like, I'm going to change the difficulty to easy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas this feels like, hey, maybe you picked the wrong humble mode. Well, you can change it. That's okay. Mm-hmm. We understand, you know, because they are taking a lot of different influences. And so my thought is, okay, if we're going to have punishment central, give me the option to after I get humbled once or twice, to back it up and decide that I want it to be just a little easier. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, so I don't know. I mean, like, it looks like, I mean, like, this is not, I mean, you would not, if I didn't know who the studio was, if I didn't know who Moon Studio was,
right,
I would have been like, wow, I'm surprised this is the people that did Ori. No, like, the style of it looks really good, and we'll see how it is. I mean, this game is going to be $3.99 if you have an Xbox Game Pass. So, like, yep. There's no risk at all.
Right. No risk, no reward.
I love Day Knight's statements, like, Smitty, Dark Souls, Wolong, just no.
No, I am going to finish Wolong, though, uh-huh, at some point in time, for sure.
Yeah,
unless you have to figure out how to beat Lu Bu.
You're still stuck on that?
Yeah, dude, I did not get, that was the last time that I played it, was at that point.
Wow.
But sometimes I got to step away from games and then come back with a fresh perspective.
I feel
you. And, you know, that's a, you know, we'll find it. We'll get it. I will finish it, Day. What haven't I finished that I said I was going to finish? I can think of one game, and that was the Halo series, which I still need to get back on.
Correct.
Gears of War.
But other than that, everything else I said, I don't have access to 2 or 3.
I'm not here for excuses, Smithy, okay? You asked me a question, I gave you an answer. I think that's pretty simple as that.
I can dig for my Xbox 360.
I was going to say, dude, look, if I can finish Metal Gear Solid 5, I can finish any game. ask me how Death Stranding is going.
How far in Death Stranding did you go before you decided to say it?
I wasn't even that far into Death Stranding, dude. When I go back to Death Stranding to play it and beat it, I will start over, most likely.
Yeah, that sounds
I've been so far removed, and I wasn't that deep. It would make more sense for me to just restart than pick up and be like, what the hell is going on? Who's this person?
Big Tim says inside the chat, I could see myself playing that. Hopefully they release it where I can play it on remote play too, which if it's going to be on Xbox Game Pass, I'm pretty sure you should be able to do that. Yeah.
Moon Studios is pretty thorough from everything that I've seen. Especially with what they did with Ori and the accessibility things, because I'm always about accessibility. Because Ori looks fantastic, however, I'm purple blue colorblind, so I can't see a lot of the things. And as far as accessibility goes, they really seem to kind of think of everything outside in the box and outside of it, you know. And I'm looking at gameplay. Obviously, there is a blue hue. I can tell that. But there's enough gray dynamic with the lighting and the camera shifts that I'm able to see things. Yeah. I feel like this studio they haven't let us down yet. And I'm really excited that they're kind of veering off the cutesy Ori path, but giving us something a little meatier, you know? I don't know. Everything I've seen looks good so far.
I've always got a great appreciation for a studio that's been able to make successful games and then pivot to something completely you know, different right. than what they're known for. I think mm-hmm. that will really show too, the strength and versatility and all that stuff of the studio as a whole. So, yeah. you know, my hat's off to them for taking a stab at something, and it looks fantastic. The yeah. premise of it sounds dope. So yeah. I don't see any reason anybody should be like, oh, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, it seems like it's pretty solid.
Yeah. So yeah, yeah, definitely. Was there a date on when this game is going to be coming out?
We're planned release date, April 18th. Really?
Oh, so
April 18th.
So and it looks month? Like it's going to be on Steam. And we have, okay, I thought they were releasing quite a lot of footage, but I thought we were still pretty far out. I guess we're not. Yeah. You do have to be 18 to play this.
No, you don't. No. I'm just kidding.
Get your mom to buy it. She got yeah. you Grand Theft Auto. It's fine. I wasn't born in 2024. Holy guacamole. Jesus.
It's actually okay. kind of funny when you're talking about the game that's like, it's like you know, the original developers yeah. of Crash Bandicoot now is known for making incredible games like Last of Us yeah. and Uncharted and stuff. It's like, holy crap. Okay.
Right. Anybody remember when I tried like to play replay Crash Bandicoot? Yeah, that thanks, Godmom. So it looks like single player, you're going to be able to play it with Xbox and on PlayStation. It's going to be on Steam. Get instant early access and start playing. Interesting.
Wait, it's on PlayStation? Wait, I thought Moon Studio was an Xbox studio.
I'm sorry, your Xbox and PlayStation controller will work.
Oh, okay. I was like, what?
I apologize. I can't see very well today, and Steam either gives me dark mode and I can read half of it, or I go with regular light mode and I'm blinded, and then I can read all of it after my eyes adjust after 15 minutes. I can't. Jesus. I can't win. Well, but I guess it's coming out. Never mind. I'm screwed this year. I have too much stuff to play. Damn it.
I think there's this is going to be a solid year for indie myself. Developers.
Third parties.
Yeah, I really think that they're going to get a chance to really shine bright this year in the game sphere, which is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm stoked.
Bam. Oh, good.
What I brought to the table. You're welcome.
Day 9 says, can't wait to play the Elden Ring DLC. Everyone is.
Like, so is Big looks, Tim. You guys better insane, best dude. Be up.
This looks like it could be a Dragon Slayer remake. Yeah. If we squint. Dragon Slayer? It could be. Who knows?
Dragon Slayer.
Oh, Dragon's Lair? Oh, Dragon's that's funny. Lair,
yeah.
Old school animated? Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
That game was virtually impossible to beat, man.
I was going to say, could you? Yeah. Like, did anybody ever beat that game?
No.
Not in the arcade, because that game was known to be just a quarter guzzler, like just eater.
Yeah,
completely.
If you make one like wrong thing, dude, and it's just a wrap. You're just like, yeah. What?
Like the window timing is very short. Like, oh, you got to take a left, but you have like 3/10 of a second to get to proceed to go left. You know, it was crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we were born during that time. They made those games purposely to eat quarters. So during that time, back in the day. But anyways, let's get all right. That was a good topic, Lex. We'll go to my topic, which is something that I think everyone was expecting it to be, which was that Nintendo is finally putting a lawsuit. Is definitely doing a lawsuit, but it's not for Pal World. It is for the popular emulator called the Yuzu emulator. Now
I don't know about this. Okay. Yeah.
So
thanks,
what
Smitty News.
Yeah, so what the so basically what you, if you did not know, Yuzu is the is a Switch emulator that I forgot the name of the group who made it. Tropic Haze, that's what was the name of the group. Tropic Haze was made the group the emulator Yuzu that could play that can play Switch games emulated games on on your PC and stuff. Now Nintendo themselves are calling is saying that this is causing facilitating piracy at a colossal scale. That's their complaint to it, and they actually do have a good point on this. Now, for years, this is a common like conversation for when it comes to emulation. Emulators have always been in this weird gray area for the longest of time. Like everyone's the official answer for emulation was, if you have a copy of the game, you can get you have an emulator of the same game, you're perfectly fine. I don't know if that's real. I don't know if that's true or not. But that's how everyone was kind of approached that conversation 9 times out of 10. However, the lawsuit was filed on Monday from the District Court of in Rhode Island, and they're saying that the company's most expensive and significant argument yet was that it turns general computing devices into tools for massive intellectual property infringements of Nintendo's and other copyrighted works. And the proof that Nintendo has is, if you remember Tears of the Kingdom when it came out, you remember that one guy who got busted selling early copies or playing it on YouTube and stuff. That guy was also using Yuzu emulation as well, apparently. So during that time, during the peak of Yuzu's emulation time, a million copies of The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom was downloaded. So a million, I mean, that meant not that, that that's not, I mean, that's not a lot, but when you think about it, a million of like at $60, at $60, $60 a piece,
that's a lot of money
in itself. Yeah. So, and this is on the game that didn't officially come out, this is a triple A title that was gone out yet. So the thing is that now Nintendo is trying to nip that sucker in the bud before it gets any crazier. And there's two companies you don't want to mess with is Disney and Nintendo when it comes to this kind of deal.
Facts.
Nintendo hates their online community, for crying out loud. So I can't only even imagine. So they are not turning backs. They're bringing their army to nip this sucker in the bud. But I guess the bigger conversation on this is that emulation itself might be a closer eye to all of this, of like how emulation is going to be shown in the near future towards this. So I think that this might be the start of the repercussions of how emulation will be from now on, which is going to be an arm and a leg and a hell of a lot tougher to do. But they're not messing around. They're throwing in some pretty serious punches to this group and to this organization. So far, I don't know what Yuzu themselves has said back, but I just wanted to kind of get what y'all's thoughts are. If this is justified for them to do it, and like what your expectations are. I mean, I don't do emulation anymore because I don't think there's a reason for me to do it yet anymore. But I used to. I'm not gonna lie, I used to back when I was younger. But do you think this is something that Nintendo has a leg to stand on, or what's y'all's thoughts?
Yes. So they aren't mad necessarily at the fact that a third party company has created an emulator. What they're mad about is that they were essentially stealing and releasing content, whether it be known intellectually or not, through their third party devices that A, hadn't been released yet, B, was a AAA title, and see, that's their stolen property. So if I'm not mistaken, monopoly laws kind of come into play here because they don't want to create an emulator, Nintendo, correct? So a third party can create an emulator that uses that software essentially to then put it elsewhere, right? So
no, not at all.
What do you mean?
Like... like Nintendo's always frowned upon. Like they don't, Nintendo never wants to share their like for instance.
No, I'm not saying they want to share their property. I'm saying monopoly laws come into play that because if you create an emulator, right, that uses something that I've created, right? Like I'm Nintendo and Smitty comes out with an emulator so that he can then play my games elsewhere. Monopoly laws come into play. They're not stealing my intellectual property. They're making a device that then can put it elsewhere.
That's like a hack though, essentially.
Like, yes, but again, like it's weird because there are gray areas and because Nintendo themselves doesn't want to create an emulator, a third party can come in and do so. But now that they've essentially stolen intellectual property by using the game, now they can sue them. So don't have to worry about them anymore.
Well, it's weird though, because like in that sense though, if they made an emulator, if they made a hack of an emulator to take a game that's not originally programmed on their system and they put it on the emulator, they have to jerry-rig it to work on that emulator, which is still stealing the game in the gray line on it. It's not the fact that Nintendo doesn't want them to be on it. They're more worried about if they break the code of the game to allow them to do it, then that's where the gray line is.
I understand what you're saying. I don't know if you know.
I guess I'm not understanding what you're saying. Yeah.
Right. Because if I own a Nintendo product, I have the game and I have an emulator, right? Mm-hmm. But I already own the game. But I'm just using third-party technology to then put something I already own, because you have to own it to have the dot code, is that the right verbiage?
Well,
to put into the emulator. Does that make sense?
I know what you're talking about, yeah. But okay, yeah, I know what you mean then. Basically you're saying that if you buy the game itself and then you make an emulator out of the game to play it on something else. Something like that is also still frowned upon, because technically
it's frowned upon, but it's not illegal, and that's how they were getting around and tiptoeing, right?
Okay. Yeah.
So now that they have, even though the company themselves wasn't like, hey, we know a guy who has the dot code that you can then use in your emulator, blah blah blah, even though you don't own it. They didn't say that, but because other people were using it and giving away the dot code, they were giving away intellectual property. And at that point, that's where they had the ground to sue them. So now Nintendo can smash these dudes into the ground and we don't have to worry about it. Does that make, or they don't have to really worry about them anymore. Does that make sense? Like they were a bug annoying them and now it's become more. Does that make sense?
You're kind of losing me a little bit, but okay. I'm not really sure. What about you, Sid? What do you think?
They didn't have ground before to sue them. Now they do. That's my
point. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Gray area.
Because I'm not a lawyer. I don't understand like how like a lot of those laws and stuff like that. I guess on my thing, if they can definitively prove that they've lost money based off of this emulator, I think it's an open and shut case then, right? Yeah. I don't think they would even pursue this if they didn't have the evidence to be able to prove that. They've been in enough lawsuits and things like that. I think that, you know, they're pretty confident going in that they'll be able to prove this, not only shutting down Yuzu, whatever it's called, but then also seeking monetary damages based off of lost revenue. They are going to, and when they come for you, They don't just do it like, hey, here's a slap and a wrist. They're looking to put you in the ground. So you can never come out. You can never come back and recover from what you've done and how you've wronged Nintendo. I will say they are, in terms of, they don't have like, they are at least like working and bringing in games to their online expansion thing and you know, kind of giving access to these older games that we did not have access to before. And I guess that's why I don't understand, like, why is a new game being emulated? Like, you said Tears of the Kingdom was?
Yeah. Yes. It's like, this is
what it was done before the game was even released.
Here's what it says
right
here.
Stole copies.
The official says in the lawsuit, Nintendo argues that the vast majority of Yuzu users are using Yuzu to play downloaded pirated games on Yuzu. For instance, the lawsuit points to a data showing that leaked copies of The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom were downloaded 1 million times in the week and a half before the game was released. So, a time period that also saw the thousands of additional paid members added to use his Patreon. Oh, that's even another thing. That's another point. I didn't even think about this. The people were paying on Yuzu's Patreon to get access to the service, so they were still I didn't even think about that. So
crap.
No, I think
they can directly tie you to a monetary number, and then you can bump that up by 500%.
Yes, exactly.
Kids are gonna be owing Nintendo money, and their kids are gonna owe Nintendo. Oh, y'all have messed up.
So I didn't even know that. I didn't even think about that either. I didn't see the Discord thing or the Patreon thing. So like, yeah, I think it's exactly what you said to me. It's an open shut. There's no, like, I don't know what they have the leg to stand on this. I mean, at this point, just on that example alone, because
you could directly say and look what's happening. I can tie this directly to
monetary
Tears
loss.
Of the Kingdom and a monetary loss. Mm. Like, they are going to absolutely bury them. Yeah. That is insane, which sucks too, because I think, you know, emulators are important as well, especially in, but I never think about them being able to, or just pirating game, and you know what I mean, like via that. I'm thinking like, oh, ways to be able to play older games that may not be accessible.
Same.
You know, or whatever. But obviously there's a lot of people that there's nefarious things that happen as well. You know, within
okay, but here's the thing, not all emulators do the same Yuzu works. Yeah, so like what I think what it is that it shows a vulnerability within Yuzu's software, or not the vulnerability, but something that Yuzu's software is doing differently that's allowing people to break game, like, you know, to break to allow them to play games that before they even come out, because it was kind of a niche group, but back in the day, you remember Bleem or Bleemcast and stuff so like for the longest of time, like Bleem was the easiest, cheapest way to get yourself to be able to play Dreamcast, PlayStation 2, 2 games without even really buying the game itself.
Music.
Yeah. That was during the Wild West days. Yeah. Like LimeWire and all that.
I do remember LimeWire.
It's around the same time.
Yeah, so like during that, yeah, so essentially it was like that sucker got shut down after the big copyright deals that was happening during that time. But then there was also other emulators that eventually came out, because there was emulators that allowed you to play arcade games that never came out to the consoles. Totally. Yeah, but allowed you to play it on PC and stuff. But that was perfectly fine when it came to that kind of deal. But it worked differently. So I think that this is an open shut case that this people deliberately like. Yuzu worked too good for its for its own good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. but the way people were using it, they knew what they were doing. So yeah.
Now I would like to just clear one thing up. So because someone had asked, how are emulators even legal? So while emulation software itself is legal, emulating games is only when legitimately purchasing the game physically and then ripping the contents from that physical copy and using it that way. Freely downloading and uploading game ROMs across various internet sites is considered to be a form of piracy. Mm-hmm. So that's, and Yuzu, because normally, if I'm not mistaken, it's your physical copy has its own like sequencing at the end of it that you're then putting into the emulator. But Yuzu doesn't do that. So if you've got Tears of the Kingdom and it hasn't been released yet, you can then upload it and I can download it. And so that's where things get, but the Patreon thing, them dirty. Nah, get out of here. Y'all knew what you were doing. Yeah, I thought
absolutely.
That
you want to access to this, come to the Patreon. We got you.
Yeah. Y'all screwed up.
They knew what they were doing at that point. Like,
yeah. I thought it was third people using the program. Oh no, y'all are in trouble now. So
yeah, so they gambled and lost on this one, but we'll see. Because no, it's not, and this isn't a cease and desist. This is a straight up lawsuit. So yeah. So we'll see how this is, where this is going to go. I will find it fascinating what their plan is for it. Because I know the dude that got caught for the original dude that was getting the videos and stuff that got caught for it, is doing some time in jail for it. So like right now. So
yeah.
So yeah, yeah, so 20 we'll see.
Years. Actually, I don't know
how many
years, but
I know, right?
To life. Got see. Life sentences. You're like, what? For video games? Like,
I just downloaded a game. Yeah, anyways. So let's close it off with Smitty. What topic are you bringing to the table there, Smitty?
Oh, you know, I'm always staying up on what's going on with the Embracer Group. We just found can't out help that. It. I just can't. They just keep popping up, man. But I think this one's a little more positive, at least for the folks over at Saber Interactive. They are being sold or have been sold for $500 million to a private investor group. If you guys remember, Aspyr had gotten picked up not too long ago by them. They were working on the Knights of the Old Republic remake, and then basically Saber Interactive took over that. Saber Interactive, by the way, are the same folks that also made Evil Dead and a bunch of other games that Jurassic Park Survival game is also Saber Interactive. Oh. So what's nice is that, you know, and we've been seeing the complete meltdown that is the Embracer Group after the Savvy Games deal basically went away. They've cut a ton over at either they've cut studios, they've cut games, they've done a ton of stuff. So what's huge about this is that Saber Interactive is going to be able to continue working on the games that they're working on now, being outside of that, the Embracer Group. I think it's going to be huge for them as a studio. They don't have to worry about stuff. I don't know. I don't think there's really any details on the private investors or whoever, you know, purchased that. It's just other than that, it was a private investment group that did that. But I think this is going to give them a lot more freedom. And I also think that they're not going to be the only ones that end up leaving as well. I know that I had read, according to the article, that there were the publication writes, one of its sources says the $500 million deal comes with the option for Saber Interactive to bring with it multiple Embracer subsidiaries as well. So I think there's going to be other things within this deal. I'm looking at like Gearbox. Why? If I'm Gearbox, I'm trying to get the hell out of there. You know, Borderlands, successful. Mm-hmm. They're plenty fine. They don't need that stress and whatnot being under the umbrella of the Embracer Group. So this will, I guess, benefit both parties. They're able to offload more, make their books look better, get some things in, as opposed to doing the, all right, we got to wait for this game to come out and then see what the sales are like. Hopefully they're good, yada, yada, yada. So I think this move here is going to be huge for some of those bigger studios that are over under Embracer Group that are just basically getting gutted so Embracer can make their stuff look good. So I want to know what your guys' thoughts are. If you think this is a good move, it's kind of like a meh, what if.
Well, it just makes me upset with Embracer. I mean, it's not Saber's fault for the shortcomings that's been happening with them. It's just Embracer just ran them down, man. Like, it's just like they don't know. They didn't the direction that they were trying to do for this game for the Knights of the Old Republic. When it was announced about, I want to say 2 years ago now,
Yeah,
like
they we were all excited.
Yeah, they didn't have, they just didn't seem like they knew what they were getting themselves into. And still to this day, I don't even think that game is coming out. That game is not something Like if it is, it's probably not going to be owned by Saber Interactive, done by Saber, because it's still is that a game that I don't know how it works. Like since Saber's the one that was making it, and now they're owned by a different company, do they still own the rights to make it, or is that Embracer Depends. Group that does it?
Because that's contract stuff that we probably won't ever
so
know.
So I have no idea. So this basically pretty much solidifies. I think it solidifies the fact that Saber isn't doing Knights anymore. Like or they're not gonna be a part of it. But Saber is a good studio, though. I will say this: Saber is a good studio.
According to this article, it says that once the deal goes through, Saber Interactive will be a privately owned company and free from Embracer, which is behind layoffs and all this other stuff. Following the transaction, the studio will continue work on its Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic remake.
Boom. Yes.
Okay.
So cool. Apparently they've got the license. Yeah, they're the ones have the license.
Good for them.
Yeah. So that's huge.
Mm. Okay. So if they're going to keep the license to it, then they're still committed to making it.
Still hope.
Yeah. Yes, there is hope. Yeah, and hopefully they'll make. Maybe the reason why they were saying no to it was because Embracer was either trying to cut corners. I don't know. We don't know yet. We'll still get a benefit of the doubt. But yeah, but as for the overall run of this, good riddance, man. Like Embracer needs to get rid of this. Need to start selling off their groups, because they clearly are not there to make games or try to make games for profits anymore. Because they're just trying to do self preservation at this point. And so, like, if they're wanting to, if they can unload, if they possibly can, I didn't even know, is Gearbox owned by Embracer Group? I thought people.
Eidos Montreal, Black Forest Game, dude, so many.
Wait, I thought Gearbox was its own. I thought the studios that Gearbox had were some of the studios were bought by Embracer, but I don't think Gearbox themselves was Embracer.
Yeah. No, Gearbox itself is Embracer.
Oh my God, that's terrible.
Yeah. So here's my thoughts. Embracer has made it pretty clear that the layoffs are to, and I quote, always maximize shareholder value, right?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So good for Saber, number one. They probably wanted to continue working on this game, and Embracer was like, we can you hold up? And Saber's like, no, we did all this work. Like, maybe it's already completed and they're in like the last phases. We don't know. But, you know, good for them. Number one, they get to keep the IP. So, yay. Embracer is, again, they're laying people off left and right. So, and it's weird because Embracer picked up Saber in 2020. So it's been less than 4 years, like, and they had to do all the layoffs. So, hey, I guess maybe this is good for Embracer, because now they're probably going to keep laying off people, but maybe they don't have to lay off as many. And Saber
they've already got rid of almost 2,000 people.
I know.
Yeah.
It sucks, but good for Saber, honestly. And I'm intrigued to find out who the private shareholder.
Wow, I guess you're right. Yeah, Gearbox is owned by Embracer. Who is it? That is crazy. Yeah,
that's their main studio.
I'm curious to see, with that option for them to bring over other studios with this deal, I want to see who else is going to bounce. Ain't no way in hell it's just going to be Saber Interactive that bounces. Somebody's probably, I will be working out a deal. That'd be a steal, being able to get multiple studios.
Especially Gearbox. Yeah. Gearbox would be a steal at this point. And like, I think if Saber's able to just like, if Saber is now standalone, and then they get what, if they hopefully their dream of, like I said, of Knights of the Old Republic really does come out, then man, I kind of like it. I like it so much more that they're not a part of a financial grouping like what Embracer was now. So hopefully that they take advantage of this as much as they possibly can.
I literally feel like Embracer Group is the Anakin Skywalker of the gaming industry. They were going to be the chosen.
They were supposed to be the good guys, and they're not. Next race, Jay will destroy you.
That's a very.
What do you mean?
I mean,
they remember they were coming in, swooping up all these
they picked studios up that were already in trouble and
things weren't looking good. And we're like, all right, man, brace your group. Like, they're doing it, man. They're bringing people in. They're letting people work independently. They're giving them more resources. Then all the Savvy Games thing completely blew that out of the water. It's insane how much that one deal affected that company. That also says a lot about companies that are gathering, and they've been gathering these studios like Infinity Stones, and then one little thing, you know, one little bump, and all of a sudden they're like, oh shit.
I like the analogy, buddy. Yeah. No, you're right.
You're like analogying away today, man.
I like it. And they're great analogies. You're correct. No, we talked about this when they originally started gobbling them up. We're like, oh, yay, they're saving our little studios that we like because they made this game and that game and they're working on this. And now they're maximation. How dare you? Shut up. You guys are now the bad guys. We don't like you anymore.
Well, it's just it was just the writing on the wall and the process that they were doing. Like, cause like the first thing that they introduced out of all those buyouts and stuff that they did was like Lord of the Rings Golem. Like, I mean, literal garbage that they just literally threw out there. Because and then when you come to find out like the turnaround time when they got the IP to do it, that it literally took them a year to make that game and what they were promising and what they were going to do it. Yeah, they clearly didn't have the best interest in mind of making the game quality good, but rather just like
look at Volition Games, same with Volition Games and Saints Row.
Yeah, exactly. Oh God, Saints Row. Yeah, being a shell of what it once did,
and like, it completely shut that studio down, dude.
Yeah. Once you start seeing the games that they tried to release under the Embracer umbrella, towards that, like that was legitimately like geared in under the umbrella of Embracer, not something that they were building like prior to the buyout. And when they did, then you realize that they were just shitty products. They were just like, that's when people were kind of like, uh-oh, you like, know?
Embracer Group's the bad guy.
Exactly. Remember, THQ Nordic was like, we were worried that like, because I think the start of all this was that they bought, one of their biggest things were THQ Nordic. And then when THQ Nordic got bought out by Embracer Group, we're like, oh, wow, okay, that's kind of weird. Because THQ Nordic prior to that were buying games, were buying IPs of games that were like, long gone. And we were like seeing where they were going to go with that. And then for a little bit of time, they were doing pretty good. I mean, they were releasing like they bought good companies like Gunfire Games and Black Syndicate Studios and stuff. But then when you saw Embracer literally gobbling up anything that wasn't a big AAA studio, and then you're like wondering, wow, what are they going to do with this? This is actually kind of wondering. Yeah, we were wondering. It's like this is like a takeover of all these different kinds of deals. We were like, oh, okay, well, let's see how this is going to go. At least it's another choice, and we kind of left an open mind to it. Then they start releasing the games that they were wanting to make, and you're like, oh my god, what is this terrible pieces of crap that are coming out? Yeah, it's unfortunate. It's it's kind of like what that saying said in The Dark Knight. Like you live long enough until you become the bad guy.
That's either that's die a hero or live long enough to see
be the bad guy.
Yes, that's essentially what happened to Embracer. Yeah. See, I could do analogies too.
That was good.
It's like Jadzia. She was really nice when she was a kitten. Now,
cut up at night.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Nice and nice.
So dope. So I mean, but yeah, I guess
I think this is a positive thing for some of those studios. At least there's somebody financially backing them for them to be able to get out of that situation that clearly has turned into a toxic situation. And right now, the fact that there's that little caveat of, hey, there's the option to bring some other studios under that umbrella as well. It's like, yo, dude, to me, that's a win-win for them studios. I'm curious to see which ones are like, yo, take us with you.
Help us. Has like a little lever underneath the door.
It's yo, like, we got a new land we're trying to work on. Yo, get us out. Get
take
us out.
Me with you, please.
They haven't fed us in a week.
Yeah.
That kind of situation is most definitely because, like, it's a. Yeah.
You know, it's crazy, too, because you got to think about it. There's the Borderlands. Never mind. Yeah, there is a Borderlands movie.
Yeah, it just came out.
Yeah. Wait, I'm sorry. It's out?
No, it's coming out. It comes out.
April, right?
Yeah.
Or the end of March. Or
April
something?
Fool's. Mm-hmm. Just kidding.
Comes out sometime.
There's so many movies I want to go see.
I think it's coming out. But yeah, I know. I was between that and Fallout. That was the other one I was thinking of. With Borderlands and them coming out at the movie and stuff like that, I would think that there would be something game wise that they would try to put in tandem with the release of that, maybe to try to capitalize on the show. Or I'm not even sure, is it a show? Is it a movie? Why is Kevin Hart in it?
It's a movie.
It's a movie. Why is Kevin Hart in it? Why not? That's always been his career, the career of Kevin Hart. So who knows,
video
man?
Video game, like, movies.
Yeah.
I don't know. That seems.
I was thinking more on the fact that it was like, why Kate Winslet? Is that Kate Winslet? No.
I love her. Why not her?
Kate Blanchett, yeah, Kate Blanchett. There I was like, go. That's a yeah. random. Like, I'm surprised that she's doing that.
Lily, right?
Yeah, she's Lily. I think like for
she
her,
does a
for,
lot of voice acting too, though. So
I mean, like for her to play that character is quite interesting to me. That it's like, oh wow, she said yes to this. That's surprising.
There's some that seem. I'm not holding out a lot of hope for it. Borderlands in itself is a kind of like goofy, like, you know what I mean? Like,
thing, but like,
yeah, but I feel like Hollywood has a way of cheesing it up so much that it makes it bad. That's what I'm afraid of.
Yeah. Don't
that
you
they
mean.
go too heavy and they don't understand the actual essence of that universe and world. They'll just pile on comedy, kind of like what Marvel does with their shit now, where they like force comedy into shit. Just like, yo, dude, this is not like, this ain't even funny. Yeah. Like, why are you doing this? Please don't let it be like that.
Look at this way.
I'm going in with an open mind, though.
Yeah, and look at this way. We got Dune Part 2 just came out. We got Ghostbusters at the end of the month. So there you go. Yes. So you'll be fine.
Ah, that's true. That's true.
Yes. Yep. So, folks, thank you for listening to episode number 210 of the CFG Gamecast. Thank you for being a part of the conversation, as always. If you did miss out on this episode, that is perfectly all right. We release it on all podcast services at the beginning of each and every week. So there is absolutely no reason to miss out on our sexy voices. Yeah. Also, guys, be sure to check out the newest episode of Pop Culture Gems, where I speak or interview Lexi Nieto. She is a voice actor, is actually an upcoming voice actor. She's only been there for two years, and she's been doing some pretty cool stuff. And listen to us geek out on theater, like theater musicals and more. So on Pop Culture Gems. So once again, this is Davis, Lex, and Smitty signing out. Y'all, take it easy.
Okay, bye-bye.